Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
In this D3 pod world, baby.
Woo!
We are back
in studio. It's always electric when I get to get with my big dog. Mm-hmm. It's double electric when we get to get in studio, turn a couple of mics on, and talk D3 lax.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get into that, big dog, how was your weekend, man?
Oh, it was awesome, dude. You know, had a rough game with the Swarm on Saturday, but we bounced back on Sunday. Did an awesome job. The boys were buzzing. They were swarming around, unlike our other fellow Hornets from this weekend, which we're going to get into in a bit.
Your cousins from the Berg.
Yes. Tough one for them. But, you know, other than that, I had a great weekend, you know. Got to see some family, hang out with some of the fiance's friends down in Mount Airy there. Did some wineries, did some breweries. It was a good time.
How was the Wi-Fi?
Oh, Wi-Fi was excellent, so don't worry. Caught all the good stuff for sure. But
does anybody else ask you questions like that?
Oh yeah, well, like when everyone's standing around having adult conversations about like, oh, when are you gonna buy a house,
and you're just cruising the IL scoreboard,
and I'm just like watching Lynchburg be down by one to round off Macon, like, come on, what are you doing? So it's always good, you know, socially.
Yeah. No, I've definitely never been there before.
Of course, no. But how was your weekend, man?
Definitely good. A little bit crazy. Scoreboard duty was a bit hectic because Mother Nature likes to do that sometimes.
Of course.
Hey, we keep living.
Yep, we keep living. We keep grinding.
And here we are in studio, ready to chop it up and talk about the weekend.
Yeah.
You mentioned that game. I'm excited to get to that one among many, many more.
Yeah. So, with all that said, you wanna get that one. You wanna dive into this? See some of these scores from this weekend?
Yeah, and then I'm ready for your immediate. Which one was the most surprising? And I mean, I have a hint at it, but
I think you might have a good hint. Yeah. But yes, we'll get into it. So first, let's go through some of the big scores from the weekend here. So first, we're gonna, as we alluded to earlier in the intro, we had Randolph-Macon with 13 to Lynchburg's 8. So not just a nail biter there; that was a dominant win there. Then you had Williams 11 against Amherst, who had 10 in an OT thriller. What a game there! You had Gettysburg 15, edging out Muhlenberg to 13 there. That was a game down in Muhlenberg. Great game. Then you had Dickinson 17, finally getting a very dominant win against a pretty good Swarthmore team who ended up putting up 4 points on the day. So 17-4 there. Then you had a nice Tufts route where you saw them take on Wesleyan, and we saw Tufts win 26-16. A lot of scoring there from Tufts that we'll get into in a bit. Then we saw Salisbury 23 to WAC 9. I know that's one that we had maybe a little bit of high hopes for WAC. But, you know, unfortunately didn't pan out that way on the scoreboard. Next we had F&M with 18 to Ursinus' 16. Pretty good one there. Followed by RPI's 9 to Union's 5. That was definitely an eye-opener for both Dan and I. Then we had Trinity with the upset over Hamilton 12-11 there. As well as Skidmore with the upset over Ithaca 12-11 as well, which that one ended up going into overtime. And then finally on Sunday, to round out a great slate through the weekend, we had Middlebury taking on Babson, where we saw Middlebury win 18-15.
Yeah, Middlebury had the rare three-game week this week, you almost never see, but that was cool. Right?
Yeah. No, it was fun. They're, you know, they've got
Division I coaches that are listening to this, which is probably not very many. You've just heard that sentence and cringed.
Yeah. Do you think they would ever do that?
Do you think there's any listening at all? Division I coaches listening to the D3 podcast just to get some extra lax in?
No, I bet you they are, because they're trying to figure out who they're going to go get on the portal after this season.
That's guaranteed. A really good take.
Oh, yeah. For you sure. May be We've giving already them talked about Boyden, but, you know. Plenty of other people that you know, we highlight on this quite a bit that fit into that bucket.
One of those dudes in the outline is labeled with the potential guy tag. Oh, yeah. We'll get to that one at some point.
I like guy.
I'll leave that there, sure, as a little teaser, because I know you like that.
Yep. Oh, I love the guy tags, dude tags. Give them all to me, baby.
He's right on the border, I think.
Yeah, between guys.
He's a shooting percentage thing away from the border, but it's cool.
Okay.
Got to get your shots off.
Yeah.
Volume shooters are...
They're guys, too. You know? They're people, too.
They got a spot in my heart as well.
They need the love. But yeah, so let's get into some of these games.
Before we get into your biggest surprise,
yes,
one thing we have to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the year, a Mr. Matt Kinnear put out a article saying that Coach Berkman and 600 wins was coming.
Yes.
I think a lot of people, including potentially myself, took that as it's here and happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's now officially happened. 600 yeah. wins. And it's cool that it came in that
Are
war
we
on the
clapping
floor.
It up for him?
Yeah, sure.
No claps from Dan, just so you know.
I'm clapping at heart.
Oh, okay.
It was awkward. My headphone wire was in my hand. I have a pen in my hand.
A lot of stuff going on in here.
Yeah, I tried.
There you go. Oh, now you dropped your pen. Look at this. Man. Yeah, but no, he definitely deserves some claps. I didn't know that he had just gotten to it. I thought it already had happened. So
yeah, same.
Shout out to him. That's
I know everything.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about it earlier, so we don't need to harp on it too much. But you know, 600, absolutely ginormous milestone and incredible feat, and one of the legendary coaches that we see in the game now. It's awesome to watch him work at his craft.
A team that they play every year
mm-hmm.
in the early year.
Mm-hmm.
Your Hornets.
Yes.
Immediate reactions to seeing that on the scoreboard while you were at the winery.
The heartbreak at the winery. Yes. Luckily, I had a couple IPAs in me at this point in time.
Wait. So,
yeah.
IPAs at the winery?
It was a brewery winery combo. It was there's a brewery one here and then a winery up here. You know me, I sample.
Took you as a Chardonnay and a sangria kind of guy.
I'm actually a huge rosé guy. You know, I like the nice light fruity stuff. But you know, the IPAs are good too. I went with a pineapple upside down cake IPA. Ooh. I was sucking those things down all day.
Wow,
delicious stuff. But yeah, that definitely helped ease the pain of watching this 13-8 game fall Randolph-Macon's way. And really watching the first quarter and even a little bit into the second, I was like, this is the normal Lynchburg team I'm used to seeing. You know, it was still a pretty tight game, but it was like, I expect Lynchburg to, you know, kind of dominate and start to pull this out.
And settle in a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Know,
they're
away.
Just settling in, figuring things out, and then boom, we're going to see that classic Lynchburg pull away. And it just never happened. You know, they never got into their groove, and Randolph-Macon did a really good job of making Lynchburg kind of play down into their level and play their game. And then once they got Lynchburg out of their game, you know, it was kind of anything could go. And then we saw kind of the worst thing that could happen, which was, you know, Randolph-Macon was very disruptive. They got all over them. And there was, you know, not really too much Lynchburg could do there.
Yeah, it did definitely feel like on ball, Macon's defenders were, like, particularly disruptive and physical, and it threw Lynchburg off at times and created some uncharacteristic turnovers from lots of different guys, not just, you know, younger guys where, you know, some of them happened to fall on their shoulders, but also some older guys that were pretty experienced as well.
Yeah, definitely. So when you were watching this one from, you know, maybe a little more of a analytical mindset, what did you see happen? What was the downfall here for Lynchburg?
Yeah, so basically at the end of every Saturday, like, it's a reevaluate, check all the scores, and then prioritize watching.
Mm-hmm.
This one was number one. So, yeah, I've digested this one pretty good. Really interesting. Like you said, I loved your point about making playing physical and disruptive on ball. I thought that was a piece of the puzzle for him for sure. And it led to some frantic play, but also Randolph-Macon really dominates possession time in between the second and third quarter. Like, mm-hmm. it feels like Lynchburg goes extended periods of times without the ball.
Yeah, I kept looking at the screen. It was always with Randolph-Macon.
Yeah.
Like,
when Lynchburg did have the ball, if they weren't able to come up with anything on that within their 6-on-6 set, man, there were times where their transition defense was just, like, very troublesome.
Mm,
but yeah. Ultimately, that second and third quarter is a 9-2 run in Macon's favor, and it totally just is – a huge piece of it is possession time. And then on ball, Lynchburg, like – or, excuse me, off ball, Lynchburg just ends up lost at times, and it creates these situations where, like, somebody is having to approach late or you have these backside openings, and Macon does a good job of orchestrating those. And, like, a lot of the way that they draw up their offense, I feel like, ended up hitting and working for him. And they did a really good job of kind of being multiple within the same set. So a lot of different times you would start with this umbrella set and it would look all the same, but just a slight difference in the movement from one possession to another would set somebody else up open on the backside in a different space. And Lynchburg kind of struggled to understand or recognize what was coming. And sometimes Macon was able to score these like first progression offense goals.
Yeah, I think you brought up two really good points there, and that's Lynchburg's transition D and them just looking lost at times. As soon as you said that, the thing that just popped up into my mind right away was that Tufts game. Yeah. Like, it was an absolute rout of Lynchburg, and what we saw in that game was very poor transition defense and Lynchburg's defenders just getting lost and leaving wide open shots. And if I was Randolph Macon, I bet they turned on that film and they saw those key areas that Lynchburg wasn't on, and they said, we're going to, you know, highlight these and really hit those home. They really did a great job with that.
And then another piece of the frustration for Lynchburg has to be, if you go back and watch the 8 goals that they score, some of those 8 goals come pretty freaking easy. It's like, obviously so much easier said than done, but just like, go do that again. You
know?
And again, part of it wasn't, you know, necessarily that they weren't able to execute, but once they go down, they end up rushing, and that does not manifest well.
Mm-hmm.
They also hit a few pipes, and that does not, you know, like, give them any confidence. It doesn't change the game flow. Like, one of those pipes goes, and perhaps everything else settles in, you know, those types of things.
Yep.
And then the game ultimately gets to 12-8. Lynchburg scores, wins possession off the faceoff, and there's one of those instances of a Randolph Macon defender getting deep in hands, puts the ball on the ground. They clear the ball, and because early in the game they were struggling with that transition defense, in this instance, like, all the Lynchburg midfielders get in the hole, stop transition, but one of them has to stay, and he ends up in a situation where he goes into a shutoff because of a mismatch, and now Lynchburg is playing 5-man or with one shutoff. A lot of teams call it 51, and so now they're in a 51 situation. And it leads to a wide open goal on the crease because the guy that was shut, who could have been filling, was, you know, shut off face to face because he had slid and recut. I mean, he did a good job early in the set, and it became later in the set, and he was on an attackman, so they have him shut. It's kind of, I mean, it's smart in theory, right? And it just so happens that Macon is able to make him pay for it because he was all shut and not in a spot to be able to help to the crease.
Yeah.
And
that's some good points there.
And then one more thing that could have been a little more insult to injury, but there's a situation late in the game. Pohl has the ball. He's kind of in like a scramble situation, and he just goes, screw it, and goes to the goal, gets to the middle. He's about to take a shot. He shoots it. It goes in offside pip, and you start to think like, oh, no, that's a backbreaker for Lynchburg. And the Randolph-Macon coach had called timeout, so it didn't end up counting.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, they get out of there with the win, which is the most important thing. Didn't necessarily need to add that one more.
Exactly.
Nice
little insult to injury, though. Yeah, that's good.
The Pohl at heart is definitely like, walking into class, like, yeah, coach screwed me. Like, you guys saw my goal, right?
Like, it counted. Yeah. Definitely. He didn't call timeout before. It went in. Yeah.
He's like, to timeout or what? The goalie didn't know that was the case. Like, I burned him.
Exactly. Yeah. Right off hip, too. Like, I mean that up. Yeah. Speaking of insult to injury, another one that definitely injured me a little bit here that I guess we do have to go into a little bit.
Yeah, all your teams lost except for the Spartans. Huh?
I know.
What's up with that?
It was a rough weekend for the Big Dog, so let's just say that. But we did have the Williams 11, Amherst 10 that we saw. A little bit of an OT thriller. We saw a last-second goal from Amherst to take it into that OT set. But, you know, Frieda was on his game. For Williams, he absolutely crushed it, kept him into the game, and you know, Williams got that last possession in OT that really sealed the deal for him.
Yeah, both goalies I thought were good.
Yep.
Likens makes 13 saves on the day. Freitas makes 15. I mean, he is there a more like inspirational, like,
I don't think there is. We hit him real good last year, so
yeah.
I mean, you probably can't dig through and go all the way back to that, but like, he is just like so much fun to watch. Like,
yeah, it's incredible. And if you're a new listener or just don't know this, we're talking about Matt Freitas, who is an amputee. He's Williams' starting goalie and has one leg.
And I guarantee you, if Dan didn't tell you that and you watched one of their games,
you would
have
never
know.
It's incredible. I mean, it gosh, I
just so I mean, there's zero chance that I, you know, could have done what he's doing out of one leg right now. Like the determination, tenacity that guy has just to come out and play, and then to be as good as he is just phenomenal. Like it's awesome.
Yeah,
to see.
Totally agree. So anytime that he and they have success, you got to be, you know, hats off.
Yes, 100%. Got to give him his love. But yeah, great game for Williams here. You know, I thought they came out. And, you know, they really made Amherst scrap and play hard, which I feel like if I am going to be so hot on Amherst a lot, I do have to give them their faults.
What's up with them?
Yeah. All right.
Where's your, like, I guess I'll just ask, where's the panic meter?
Yeah. I'm
on a scale of 1 to 10.
The button's out and it's
the panic button
open.
Yeah.
Able to be pressed. It hasn't been pressed, but
so
it,
you've thought about pressing
it's
it.
It's like the hands, like
you've thought about
hovering over the button. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
And hovering what was over. More alarming to you, them losing to Williams in overtime or the beating they took from Wesleyan on the midweek?
I think personally, I'm a little bit more concerned about the Wesleyan beatdown from earlier in the week, for sure. You know, this was definitely a hard-fought game. I thought Williams had a great game plan. It was home for Williams. So, you know, a lot of things stacked against Amherst there. But that Wesleyan game, as we saw against Tufts this weekend, like, Wesleyan is a team for me that's, you know, kind of on the cusp of the top 20, you know, maybe in there a little bit. I know that you might have them a little bit higher than I do
19.
Personally. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I have them 17, 18, right around there. But, you know, they're not a team that I would say should be dominating you in, you know, that type of performance.
So while we're talking about these two teams, mm-hmm. I don't want to get too far ahead into preview, but they play this week.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a pick right now. Right now. Who wins, Williams or Wesleyan? Right now, who wins? Who wins? Who wins? Who wins? Immediately, give me a pick. Give me a pick.
Williams. Give me Williams. Yes, I think they're hot right now. They're buzzing. Everyone's firing off. They played some great teams very close. That Tufts game was what, 4-3 goal game?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And they have them at a 1-goal game in the fourth at some point.
Yeah,
I
like
believe.
Williams
I
is
wrong.
Not
I
a
believe.
Team that you want to be playing right now at all. And so at Wesleyan, we just saw them. I think we can even get into their game if you want to a little bit right now.
Yeah.
Should be some easy transition. You want to just talk about them real quick?
Yeah, keep us rolling.
Yeah. So we saw Wesleyan take on Tufts this weekend in the Birdcage, and it was a domination for the Jumbos. Absolute domination. We saw 19 goals, and that's not the game. That's not like the end of the third quarter. That was halftime.
Yeah.
There was 19 goals for the Jumbos at halftime.
Yeah, 19-5.
19-5. Yeah, and then it ended up being, what, 25-16? Insane. Dan, over under 110 shots in this game.
You're asking me like I don't already know.
I know. Yeah, you know. He knows. It was over. 100 and what?
I thought about just going with it, but...
Yeah. No, you can't lie to the people.
I can't lie to the people.
It's fine. What was the final tally? 126?
128, yeah.
Oh, my.
Like, 128.
Tufts
had 47 first-half shots. That's more than a lot of teams took this weekend.
Yes.
They're in four quarters.
If you're a fan of offensive lacrosse.
And Wesleyan gets to 52, so
oh,
it's
yeah,
128
no.
shots between the two teams.
Yeah, Wesleyan still gets down and gets theirs, and especially in the second half and in the fourth quarter, you know, that's when Wesleyan – you know, kind of tallies a lot of theirs and trickles back in a little bit. But
and outside of shots and faceoffs, the rest of the stats in this game are pretty even. Well, and score,
yeah,
which is
the
arguably
most important one.
An underrated stat.
Yeah, some say.
Score.
Some say.
And so really impressive performance by a guy who's been previously deemed a dude?
Yes.
Tagliaferri?
I had him at dude category.
You had him at dude. Mm-hmm. Wait, what's better, dude or guy?
You go guy to dude. Yeah, you graduate from a guy to a dude.
What's above dude?
A man.
Oh.
Yeah. We don't have too many men out there. Yeah. Not just yet. It's a little too early to label some guys men.
That was so good. All right, and of course we're referring to Charlie Tagliaferri, who has 6 points on a goal and 5 assists. Tommy Swank had 4 goals, 2 assists for also 6 points. And then Joe Murtha is a dude that at different times this year you've brought up a couple times via text and things like that. Definitely one of the country's most interesting players. Has a very versatile skill set. Mm-hmm. He's kind of your – if transition midfield was like a more commonly referred to title, he'd be a – top-tier transition midfielder.
What was it, like 10, 12 years ago that they put in short-stick defenders as like an actual position?
Yeah, but and so he does play that. Well, but I think more importantly than playing that, he's out there to create the other way.
I like think you make a little transition midi area.
That's hot. That's a hot take.
You see it in the game. So much now. You know, these people that help you get up and down, they're so important to your
team. Yeah, those are short-stick D-mids.
I mean, they also do that. You could have a decent short stick D midi that's amazing at getting you up and down the field.
And perhaps plays EMO.
Could, yeah.
Because then you could be talking about my opinion of Joe Murtha.
Okay.
I think that's his best asset is creating transition. He's got the skill set and versatility that creates so much that way. And but again, like to your point, he's just incredible going the other way and has the stick that he's on Tufts extra man.
Yeah. That's how good he is. Exactly. So absolute dominant performance by them. You know, Wesleyan, we'll get him a little bit more in the top 20 movement and things like that. But, you know, definitely not a team I'm sold on and definitely a team I have worries going into the stretch here for. Another team I might be a little bit concerned about, definitely not as concerned as some of these other teams, but a little bit concerned about, is Gettysburg.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Muhlenberg.
Oh, well,
aren't they your boys, too? Did you pick them to win the Centennial?
I may literally
all your teams lost.
It was a tough day at the dog kennel this weekend. Yeah, Muhlenberg. I am worried about Gettysburg, though. You know, I have them, what, top 8, I think? I have them the number 8 spot.
I have them lower than that. Higher than that.
You have them higher than that.
I have
them
at 6.
Yeah, I think I have them appropriately ranked at 8 right now. We'll get into that later. But We saw them take on Muhlenberg.
8.
15-13 game.
7.
What?
Who?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got them at 7. Numbers are hard. Numbers are real tough.
Okay, sorry. It just threw me off.
Yeah, no.
I was very quick, rapidly searching for who you would possibly have
higher,
and that
it wouldn't make sense to have anybody. Yeah.
Okay,
we're there.
All right,
15-13. Gettysburg takes it. Dan, I know you were really high on their EMO play from this game.
Yeah,
was that what you say would be the biggest factor in determining the win?
I mean, 6 for fourth quarter goals, 3 of them are extra man, so
that's pretty big determination right there.
Gosh, Muhlenberg was one of my biggest. Excuse me. Muhlenberg was one of my biggest sources of issues when it came to the top 20. I had versions of it with them in. I had versions of it with them out. Ultimately, they are going to fall at 21, and I'm kind of excited to dive into my top 30 and put that all on paper here. Point being, they end up falling out, and they're just a few penalties and a good fourth quarter away from being inherently like a lock to be in, you know, like, and it's just one of those ones that just, like, in fishing, there's the expression of the one that got away.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Gettysburg has to feel like Muhlenberg has to feel like Gettysburg right now is the one that got away.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. This was one that, you know, right on the cusp, this could have put them kind of on the map, over the edge, really solidified that spot and just didn't have what it took there at the end.
Yeah. And golly, Gettysburg again lives through a day where they get suspect goalie play.
Yeah, my take about Gettysburg getting better in the goal from the first pod that we had is a little bit on the rocks right now, but you know, we'll see. There's still a lot of season left.
And we are at the point in the episode where it's time to reveal my previous tease of the dude tag.
Yes. Who's getting the dude?
We've talked about him before.
Yeah.
He's going to play at Penn State next year. And that's James Del Monte.
Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily a hot take.
Del Monte, that's a name that I could imagine, you know, hearing on ESPN.
Yeah. So, again, that's not a hot take, but needs to be said.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Del Monte, good player.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. He also, like, really saves it up for Gettysburg, I feel like. Last year he had a bunch of goals against him, including, like, a bunch in a row in one of those games. And then, again, this year he has four on him. So, has a little bit of vendetta against Gettysburg. Maybe he wanted to go there in recruiting and they told him no.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be it. Those are always the games you play the hardest against, right?
Yeah, it kind of always scared me whenever we would like tell a kid no and then end up having to see him, you know, a couple years later and it's like, oh boy, I remember that kid.
Yep.
And then he'd have a couple goals or whatever. It's like, ah. Oh well.
Yeah.
Live with what you got. You
yeah.
know?
I think my sophomore year I was like, I'm gonna show up against Salisbury because Jim Berkman told me I wasn't good enough to come here. And then I got pulled at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah. It was like 10-0. Sometimes that's how it goes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that's how it goes, too.
You know, there's both sides of the coin there.
Yeah, yeah. Tell you what, man. I would have recruited you.
Oh, really?
For sure.
Appreciate that, man. Yeah, I got a lot of no's.
No doubt.
A lot of no's in the recruiting world. But you find a place that loves you, you can call it home.
Where was your first spot?
That, like, if everything was a yes, I would have gone to? I would have gone to UMBC. Yeah. Their assistant coach was my club coach.
Mm.
Yeah, I was all about it. My boy from high school was going there. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it would be sick. But yeah, then I got the no.
No dice.
Then I got the Salisbury no.
No dice.
Then I got the St. Mary's no.
No dice.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, St. Mary's no. And then Coach Childs recruited me to Eastern, and then he was like, actually, I'm going to York. You should probably think about coming here. I said, screw it, why not?
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
Way better fit for you, I feel like.
Yeah, it was closer to home.
Yeah.
Had what I was studying, although that wasn't important to me at the time, which hindsight 2020, that should have been the most important thing. But, you know, what can you do?
Whatever.
Yeah. Moving on, though.
Yeah, keep us rolling.
Yeah, yeah. Getting into another possible dude. Let's label him as a guy right now.
Uh-oh.
We'll keep him at guy. We'll talk about dude. And that's McKee. Ooh. For Dickinson.
Oh, great.
Absolutely
call.
Lit it up great from
call.
The X.
Yeah.
Sparked that offense, which they really needed to spark. We saw them rout Swarthmore 17-4.
Yeah.
Dan.
Where do I start here? With Swarthmore or with Dickinson? What do you want me to do?
I want you to hype up Dickinson.
Take your pick, boo boo.
Hype him up. Give me that Dickinson love.
McKee, face off guy. Total domination.
Mm-hmm.
Really just like. Not only is he creating a bunch of possessions for him, but he scores early. And so here's one of the things. I can't really go too far without getting into Swarthmore because I have to say this point early because it kind of makes the rest of it make sense.
Okay.
But you can tell right away it goes to 2-0 and Swarthmore takes a timeout right off the bat.
Okay.
Kind of tries to settle the air. You can almost tell coach feels like the energy, the enthusiasm that Swarthmore had played with in the last few games was, you know.
Not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Calls timeout, addresses it with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Go back out of the timeout, 2-0. We're about to face off. McKee scores forward himself. Mm-hmm. So right away, all the timeout that you just said.
Gone.
Just immediately gone.
Yeah.
Immediately gone. And then he just immediately keeps feeding the offense. He goes 15 of 19. He has a goal and 2 assists on the day, as well as 8 ground balls. So 3 points on top of 15 possessions created for his team. Just an incredible day. And also we've seen, and we haven't really talked about it too much, but we've seen the return of Thurston for Dickinson. And that definitely is a big piece, a helpful piece of the puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know that we've totally seen him meshing and, like, back to the same level until this game. And then he scores 5 goals on this one. And, you know, that's an important piece for them and is good to see that he's back and healthy and seems to be kind of finding his rhythm again.
Yeah, yeah. I really think that this was a good game for Dickinson to kind of get back on the right track. We've seen them falter quite a bit lately here. I had a lot of questions for him on the last pod, so, you know, good for them to get kind of right the ship, get back on the right track, and I'd like to see them continue this momentum moving forward. But for Swarthmore, we saw them have a lot of good momentum. You alluded to it earlier. They've been buzzing lately, and they just didn't have that, you know, spark in them this past week.
What's up with that? They, like,
How do you analyze that from a?
Yeah,
you know?
It's extremely frustrating because you want to like invest in them, but like they have the loss against Vassar and it was bad weather. Now they have this loss against Dickinson, and this was dismantling. Like it's 6-0 right away, and I mean it just it was never close. You know, never, not from the start. Mm-hmm. Dickinson owns a plus 21 advantage in ground balls. Like every 50-50 is theirs. They're bigger, stronger, faster. Like first to every ground ball. I mean, it was a dismantling. Mm. That team beat Gettysburg.
You know,
like it's crazy. We're at this point in the season. You called it the meat and potatoes. That's going to be the title of this episode.
Ooh,
hand hug. Well done.
Thank you.
And we really are in the meat of the potatoes this season where it's like you can no longer digest anything or start to push things out that are just based on wins and losses. You know, like everything has this extra bit of nuance. You can no longer judge teams based on their best win or their worst win. Like you have to find their consistency, which makes sense, right? Like,
I like that. Yeah.
And it kind of makes sense here. Like, we're officially into that part of the season. So this Swarthmore team definitely has a solid resume still. But this loss was pretty ugly.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, I envy you in a lot of ways for your life. But I do not envy you in having to analyze and critique Swarthmore.
I'm
going
to save my answer to your exact statement. Or my rebuttal to your statement for my conclusions at the end of the episode.
Okay. All right. I like that. So let's keep this thing moving right along, though. Hit on some great games.
Yeah.
We talked about it. There were some huge upsets. A lot of things happened this week. I think we got to get into the top 20 movement a little bit here and talk about our top 20s. Now, Dan hit me up this morning. He shot me a text. I was in the middle of, you know, running some uber important reports for Under Armour, and they were like, stop what you're doing. I need your top 20 right now. So I stopped everything, shut it down, and gave him the ultimate Big Dog's top 20 list. Compared it to his, and he was like, Big Dog, you got some issues. You got some problems. But I wholeheartedly believe in this list.
Hey, when I shared mine, what'd you say?
I said you were a crazy man.
You said you got some issues. You got some problems.
The only problem with you is you have to post it to everybody else. I get to just send mine to you. And you
that ain't
know.
No problem.
Yeah, no, okay. I saw you getting some heat on Twitter and stuff
that
like
ain't
that.
No problem.
I was there to defend my boy. Don't worry.
Really,
yeah.
Today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got a little bit.
Nice. You defended me?
Yeah, the MD Lax Facts Checker, he always gets you.
Oh, you hit him back?
I actually didn't hit him back, but I was waiting.
So
for
how'd
it.
You defend me?
Well, I was ready.
I had a tweet hot on the press.
And if things were gonna go down, worry.
Nah, yeah. He's cool. He's just a Dickinson guy. He's excited that his boys put him. Swarthmore was making a lot of noise, and those Dickinson boys quieted him down a little bit.
They definitely did get their shine now. Yeah, you know? They definitely shut him down.
And they were, you know, in a spot where they needed to come out and make a statement themselves. And
did they do it?
They did.
They sure did. Yeah, so do you want me to go through my top 20?
Only if you want to. I don't mind if we just hit on some of the specific points of combativeness.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Let's do that. Yeah, because there's going to be a lot of redundancy in some of our picks here.
Yeah,
so
all right.
Let's do that.
Starting with, mm-hmm. First one I'm putting you on the spot for.
Yeah.
You have St. Lawrence.
I do.
Above Gettysburg.
I have St. Lawrence at number 6, yes.
And Gettysburg at 7.
Correct.
I have Gettysburg at 6, St. Lawrence at 7. So a little bit of splitting hair. It's not like we're talking about, you know, massive strides.
Mm-hmm.
I also think there's another question above that. I think we both fall in the same spot, but you could definitely argue Middlebury and CNU.
Mm-hmm.
CNU has better top-end wins.
I would say that, yeah.
So
I don't think you're wrong there.
So that'll be, you know, some points of emphasis. But Middlebury, I think, man, they're just so deep, you know.
Yeah, Middlebury, you know, I have them at 4, and I think that's a great spot for them right now behind Tufts, Salisbury, and RIT. You know, just because of that experience and that depth. And you talked about it, I think, I don't know if it was on the pod or if it was just us chatting last week, or maybe it was even text. But anyway, they had, it was a tight game, you know, that there's stuff going on.
Two more new attackmen.
They just popped out two new attackmen that we've never heard of.
Oh yeah, that was
seen
a text.
All year.
That was a text.
Boom! They just absolutely crush it. Do the absolute right thing in the right situation. And it's like, where do they just keep getting these guys from? Like, they just come out of nowhere.
I don't understand it.
When you're that deep, like, you got to be ranked that high. Like, because when you get into May and you get into these tough games where it comes down to the wire, it comes down to experience and you know, how fit you are, how, you know, like, conditioned you are. And I think they have both of those right now to run with any team in the nation. So that's why I got them at the number four spot. But St. Lawrence, I really loved what they're doing. And maybe it's a little bit of bias from seeing them in person and seeing just how they, to use your phrase, dismantled Lynchburg. Again, which we keep talking about Lynchburg losing these games. But just seeing it in person, like, they clear the ball super effectively. They have great goalie play. And then they just got tons of different guys that just do all this dirty work and, you know, aren't scared to, you know, make tough plays and just do whatever needs to be done to win the game. You know, like, so it doesn't matter if they're, you know, a big shooter stepping into more of a feeding role or a supportive role, but, like, any guy on that, any six guys that are out there can play any role that they need to at any point in time. So that's what makes them so dangerous. And we've seen Gettysburg, you know, they've lost to Swarthmore. They go to a tight one to Muhlenberg, which both are, you know, pretty solid teams. But I think St. Lawrence is just a little bit of a step above them there.
St. Lawrence did have a little bit of a tight one last week. Who was that with? Let me see. It was the midweek game with Vassar.
Yes, Vassar.
A little tighter than you would have expected.
17-12.
They get to, yeah, no. It ended 17-12, but it was neck and neck for longer than you would have expected. But, again, Vassar has that win over Swarthmore, so perhaps Vassar isn't quite as down as some people expect.
Yep, and then we saw St. Lawrence take Middlebury to that one-goal game.
Yeah,
you know?
On top of having a million things go wrong and, like, a bunch of fail clears and going offsides and
that's
some
one, two
goals
plays
that
away
they could have just turned.
Game.
Yeah, some plays where they literally would have been just as well turning around and throwing the ball in their own goal type of things. Like,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're definitely if they here's to your point. I think St. Lawrence, if they can make a 6-on-6 game with anybody, they can win.
I like that.
If they can make it a 6-on-6 game, they can beat anybody.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah.
So yeah, just keeping this thing rolling. Bowdoin definitely is a team that's a tough one for me to judge. I feel like the whole NESCAC really in general is just such a bit of a crapshoot with Conn College mixing in and stealing some wins here
just,
and there.
They play each other. It's like the AFC North in football. You know, like, they all just hate each other and play each other so tough and physical and, like, score a billion goals. Like, it's tough to get a real read out of the NESCAC.
Yeah, I agree. And so there's definitely just a lot of different stipulations there. And then Wesleyan, for me, I end up keeping in. But I guess before we get to them, one other point that we definitely talked a bit about was Lynchburg.
Mm-hmm.
So previously I had Lynchburg at 9. Then they take that loss to Randolph-Macon, and now I have them at 14.
Mm.
You've told me that's too big of a jump.
That's a little bit of a
I've
drop.
Been told by others it's not a big enough of a jump.
Oh.
And this is where the nuance of all of the rankings comes in, because how much do you weight, you know, a result like that where you know is an upset, you know, like upsets happen. Do you, in this case, you are being very quick to forgive. Sometimes you can't be so quick to forgive and you kind of got to hold them to it, you know, like the result happened at some point, you know, you can't just ignore it. So that's kind of where the nuance of all of it comes in and becomes tough. I have ultimately them dropping 5 spots, which feels like somewhere kind of in the middle of those two spectrums.
Yeah, I think that's good. And, you know, I think it's alludes kind of to your point earlier where you can't judge somebody on their worst day and you can't judge them on their best day. And, you know, we've seen Lynchburg lose a couple questionable head-scratching ones. You know, this Randolph-Macon one stands out. The domination that they saw between St. Lawrence and Tufts really sticks out. But then at the same time, you know, we see a one-goal OT loss to Salisbury. We see a one-goal game to Christopher Newport, OT loss there.
You know what it makes me wonder?
What's that?
Here's a question I'll pose.
Okay.
Does Lynchburg have the best home field advantage in the country?
Mm. I'm looking through. Let me look at the schedule here. Yep, that's a home game. That's a home. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think you might be onto something here, Dan.
Home game takes CNU to overtime. Home game takes Salisbury to overtime.
And
road game
those games,
lose to Randolph-Macon.
They're electric. Like that home field environment that they have, we've talked about it before.
Yeah, no,
it's
totally.
It's electric. It's electric.
It changes the game a little bit. Mm. And perhaps this isn't even a hot take.
This might be a lukewarm take that you've just kind of uncovered.
If
rub the dirt
if
off
Lynchburg
of.
Somehow ends up with like a high enough seed to run the table and stay home through like NCAA tournament play one year, lock them in.
Yeah,
lock them in.
Okay, all right. I like that. I like that a lot. That's a good take. I don't know if they're going to get that this year though.
No.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for him. I'll wait till that seeding. If you could bet on D3 lacrosse though, I would just slam their money line whenever they were at home.
Yeah, against anybody.
Anybody. Yeah. Yep.
Virginia can come to play.
I got Lynchburg and a nail biter.
It's on Schellenberger Field. Yeah, it'll be close.
Give me the Hornets. Yeah. Hornets plus money. Yep, it's always in. Oh man. Another team. We had some disagreements on, though, besides Lynchburg.
Wait.
Yeah.
Where do you have Lynchburg? You never revealed where you actually finished.
I have them at 11.
11.
11.
Gotcha.
Yeah, which I think is you have them at, what, 14?
Yeah. I feel like you have them pretty close to where they came in the coaches' poll.
Yeah, I mean, you know what they say. You know, I'm pretty well schooled up on my lacrosse stuff, so... Pretty much me and coach's brains are.
Is that similar. What they say?
Yeah. A lot of people have said that to me personally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A ton.
Yeah. The coach's poll has them at 12.
12. Okay.
Yep. So yeah. They fall somewhere in between the two of us.
Yep. Yeah. I'm going to talk about it in Big Dogs, Big Takes, but you hit the nail on the head with your talk. Like, I'm not overreacting to these upset losses.
Clearly.
No, I'm not. I'm chilling. I'm straight chilling.
You're not only are you not overreacting, you might be ignoring. What you promote, you permit. What's that expression?
I don't know. That was a new one for me. I liked it though. What you promote, you permit.
What you permit, you promote.
Oh, okay.
So if you just ignore Lynchburg losing to Randolph-Macon, you're just telling them to go do it more.
Oh,
go lose to Averett.
Well, no, if they do that, then maybe we'll have to have a different discussion. Yeah.
Got it. So no making a habit of it. That would draw some flags for you.
Yes. You lose one, though, you know, it's all right. Not a big deal.
Accident forgiveness from the big dog?
Yeah. Yeah.
You get like a big dog insurance policy?
You get a...
You're like Spider-Man, everybody gets one?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And they got their one there. But another team that has lost more than probably one that we got to talk about is Amherst.
Yeah.
And them falling a little bit.
Yeah.
I put them down. Actually, I kept them up kind of high around 9.
Again, accident forgiveness with the big dog.
Pretty high. Where'd they end up for you?
Wait, what'd you say? You have them at 9?
Yeah, I have them at 9.
Oh, yeah. No, that seems just. I'm at 9 too.
Oh, perfect. Hey, there we go.
Hey.
Hand hug. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I think 9's a great spot for them. Put them right above York just because they did have that win again.
Also, York at 10.
Yep, just because they did have that win. But, you know, I wouldn't put them over the Bowdens or Gettysburg or anything just yet.
York isn't exactly a straightforward case either here, though.
They have the outlier loss.
Their strength of schedule so far this year is phenomenal. It's going to continue to drop, though, as they play more of their conference teams.
Looking ahead on
but
their schedule.
Their strength of schedule so far has been great, but their best win is Denison. Denison's good, top 20 team, certainly. That's the best win they have. They kind of needed your sinus to be good, or they needed to not lose to Amherst. You know, like those were their options in both of those things. One of them they controlled a bit more than the other, but, you know, that's the situation that they're in right now, and they're not exactly the most straightforward case. They are a team that, as we look at, you know, efficiency metrics and things like that, they fall 11th defensively and 9th offensively.
Okay.
And again, that's adjusted, so you have, like, strength of schedule is involved in that, hence my first statement. Mm-hmm. And then they don't have any bad losses, you know? Like, a lot of teams around them either have... They may have better wins, but they probably also have a bad loss, if that means that they've dropped to that type of... around that area.
Yeah.
So, a bit hard to judge, but again, I think it's kind of interesting point that they are currently falling one of the highest teams in terms of efficiency metrics.
Yep, yeah, that's a good point there. One team that I have pretty high up that you have pretty far down, we're going to disagree on a little bit here, so let's chat it up. Union.
Yeah, Union. I mean, I love talking about them. I think that they, like, they are the type of team that potentially is built to be better than 20. They've got injuries on the offensive side of the ball, which is why you're seeing output like 5 against RPI. But, you know, losses now to both Clarkson, RPI. Fortunately, they have that win over St. Lawrence that looks good and continues to look good as we talk about, you know, St. Lawrence improving. Unfortunately, they were able to pull that one out pretty decisively as well. But again, outside of that, losses to Clarkson and RPI now. And that RPI loss was a 5-goal output at home. So definitely tough, but with those losses under their belt, and again, RPI has you know, a bunch of losses under their belt as well. So to drop that one for Union is, you know, a bit troublesome, and you know, still in the top 20, still on the, you know, the good side of 20, but you know, definitely does take a drop for me.
Yeah, I think I'm judging them at their healthiest point. You know, we haven't seen them really, which, you know, it can be a little bit of an
sketchy.
Asterisk.
So
a little sketchy. If they get everybody out there at the same time playing 100%, they're dangerous.
And I hate to do this because, you know, like, I still feel this, like, connection to the coaches because I used to be one. And, like, if Thomas Pfeiffer got hurt that year, I wouldn't have wanted some, like, media guy to be texting Childs or calling Childs and be like, hey, you know, tell me about, you know, like, and maybe it's cool or whatever and would make it feel, you know, more real to break, like, a injury thing like that. But, like, I kind of want to just respect them, and we'll see if we get them at some point in the future. So I haven't put any I haven't sent any Ravens to figure out exactly how injured he is. Plus, it lets me have a little anticipation for every Union game. It's like, I wonder if he's back, you know, and I get to check the box score and get excited for a hot second before ultimately being disappointed so far this year.
So far. But hopefully that trend doesn't continue. Hopefully we see him bounce back, and if they do, man, I'm telling you, they're going to be a dangerous
team.
Well,
specifically, I was referring to Burns.
PB, yeah.
Yeah, your boy. Guy. Peanut butter jelly.
Our guy. One other team that we got to talk about in this top 20, though, that we've had a lot of disagreement on, it's our Cardinals and Wesleyan.
Yeah, you hate them.
I do not like them. I'm going to be up front. I'm going to say it out front. You can, you know, try to decipher, oh, Caleb doesn't like our team. I don't. No, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't believe in it. Yeah, the tough loss to Stevens to start the year. You know, they've kind of been
red flag number one.
That was the big red flag number one. I know it was both historic coaches going after it. Blah,
yeah,
blah,
299.
Yeah.
The battle for 300.
But, you know, you got to win that one. Red flag right there. And then we just really haven't seen them, you know, have that decisive win this year. You know, they've played some pretty good games.
They beat Amherst.
They beat
good.
Amherst, sure.
One of your insurance policy games?
Sure, yeah. Let's throw that down for accident forgiveness right there.
Yep, got it.
But, like, you know, you see that Amherst game, and that's starting to look like more of an outlier than it is a true indicator of their performance, you know.
Well, also, it probably just doesn't look as good now that we've also seen Williams beating them in overtime.
That also is shutting it down a little bit there. But, you know, they're just not a team that sold me that I believe in that can, you know, make a deep run in May. Like, sure, they're a fun team to watch right now. Like, they do some fun things. And they're not bad. But, like, if we're talking about, like, actual championship contenders come May, it's not them. I'm sorry.
All right. So, question for you.
Yeah.
As a Wesleyan hater, which you are, if that first loss to Stevens was a red flag, what would you consider the midweek loss 16-15 to Trinity?
Oh, that's take out that panic button and just start punching.
Full on smash.
Break the panic button.
Yeah.
You're smashing it. So Hulk smash the panic button.
Hulk smash.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you need to go buy like Hulk gloves?
Yeah. I had them back when I was a kid. Yeah. Yeah. They make the sounds and everything. Those were sick.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd be smashing the panic button with those.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Well, they will hopefully get back on track this week with Springfield, and that's a away game midweek, so get a little bit of a test against Springfield, who actually has a really high strength of schedule and perhaps is a little bit more battle-tested and ready for this game than some may think.
Yeah.
Wesley and I can't imagine overlooking them after, you know, three losses in a row and now the opportunity to get back into the win column, though.
They're going to need to, yep. A couple other teams outside of the top 20 now, let's move into the 30 a little bit, into your boys, into your realm. Let's talk about them a little bit. Who do you want to hit here first?
So I don't know that I'm going to reveal numbers yet because I still want to give myself the opportunity to be able to move things considering we are on Monday night.
Yep.
And top 30 review will or breakdown will come out officially polished, all ready to go on Tuesday.
Excellent.
You'll be listening to this after Tuesday, whether it's Wednesday or Thursday. Who knows?
Sometime in there.
Well, you know, the wind will blow and this thing will get edited and put out.
Yep.
But yeah, so don't want to totally reveal actual ranks, but I will definitely be glad to talk about some of the teams that fall in there.
Yeah. You want to talk about, let's talk about my boys first.
Yep.
The Mules.
Oh.
We saw them lose that tight one to Gettysburg. What are you thinking about them for top 30 movement-wise?
Yeah, again, like they're going to be 21. They are as close to in the top 20 as you could possibly be. Mm-hmm. A couple penalties away, you know, and that's a win that if they log, they're not just 20. In the top 20. Like they're solid in the top 20. They're, you know, mm-hmm. closer to 15 probably.
And I would have been able to bump Gettysburg down. Oh, it would have been sweet. But,
yes, yep. Correct. So, yeah, they, you know, got to give them a lot of love. It's tough to have them out after a two-goal loss to that in that situation, and then they beat the bag out of your Sinus early in the week. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I think it was a 10-goal win. So, really just super impressive there on that. Yeah, 18-8 over your Sinus there. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so a 10-goal win there, and then follow that up with a two-goal loss to a very good team that you're beating for, you know, three-fourths of the game. More than that, I guess, technically. Mules definitely just right on the border of that top 20, but falling at 21.
Yep, yeah, I think that's a good point for them. And then Stevens, I know this is another team for you.
No, I got Stevens in.
You got him in?
Yeah.
In the top 30, okay.
Yeah, Stevens is definitely in the top. No, in the top 20.
Top 20?
Yeah, Stevens is 17, brother.
Okay.
You don't have Stevens in your top 20?
I sure don't, no.
Oh, that's a... That may be...
Oh, I do. Yeah, I have him at 19.
Yeah. Good call.
19th spot.
Good call.
Right above Hampden Sydney.
And Stevens is another team that the numbers really like, which is part of the reason that I know for sure I had him in the top 20. When I came to deciding last week, I was looking through everything, and they were new to the top 20 at that point. Maybe not... That wasn't their debut in the top 20 of the year, but they were back into it. And a piece of that puzzle is the efficiency numbers definitely like them. And part of that is that they beat Wesleyan, who had gone on to do well. But now that they've lost two games this week, that number may drop.
Yeah. Nope. Rightfully so. All right. So you ready to go into one of our new favorite segments?
Yes. And we got a new segment that I'm excited to unveil in a bit here too.
Yeah, let's get into it here. So first off, we got the Tommy Loins donned Bubby Boys. Here I'm going to go through and list out the teams that are Bubby Boys, and then we can hit on a couple from the week here. So we had Clarkson, we have St. John Fisher, MIT, Elizabethtown, Roanoke, RPI, WAC, and then our boys over at Kenyon.
And, man, three teams stick out to me in this one right now.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
Who are those for you?
Roanoke.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely is one of the ones that sticks out right now. RPI after a pair of wins.
Yes.
E-Town, I think, has been climbing the ranks for me. And then I'll add a fourth and say Kenyon as well.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, I like all those teams there.
So, yeah, they are definitely the kind of towards the top of the bubble. St. John Fisher, obviously, like, such an impressive strength of schedule. Like, they've been through the ringer. So if it came to, like, a situation where I had to pick St. John Fisher versus another team, like, I may pick them over a team that I would have higher because they've been through the ringer, like I was saying, and they're, like, battle-tested.
Really?
But because of all those losses and, like, where they fall in terms of, like, so many of the other things that we've talked about in this episode, I just have them a little bit lower on the list of the bubble teams.
I think that's fair. Yep. I think for me, the one big bubble team that stands out is RPI. You know, Joseph Perry down there. They just had a great week beating Clarkson and Union, and the Union win was pretty dominant.
Yeah, held them to five.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So that's a defensive shutdown right there. So they're definitely one I'm keeping my eye on. We've seen them upset some big teams in the past. With RIT last year, so definitely one I'm keeping my eye on for sure.
Yeah, and then here. Clarkson was in, then drops that RPI loss and lost to RIT, so they're going to be a little bit lower on the bubble, but again, you know, right in the mix. And then they were also in, essentially, on the heels of that win over Union, which now doesn't quite look so good now that...
You've dropped them all the way to 20.
Well, really. I mean, they lost again to RPI, so... And then we mentioned Kenyon. They serve as a really good segue to our next segment and the last of our preview segment. We also get to be some data boys here for a minute.
Oh, yeah. I brought my glasses just for it.
And one of our statistical players of the week, as we've introduced this segment a couple weeks ago. This is
week two.
Week two.
Yep.
So this is week two of our statistical players of the week. I'm excited to kick it off. I have Thomas Nelson of Kenyon going 13 of 13 for 11 ground balls, 100% day.
That's can't do better than that.
Yep, and that was definitely a great way for them to kickstart that game and kind of get the juices going in the direction that they want it to for that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. One I want to shout out here is Gebhardt, and not the one we're used to talking about on MIT. This is Logan Gebhardt down in Mount Union. 15 points this weekend, 6 goals, 9 assists.
Nice.
Very nice. Very nice. but absolute dominant performance there. So great job by Logan.
And then our next one is Devin Morse from Guilford College. Really impressive day. 12 goals on the day with 1 assist. And that was over Virginia Wesleyan in decisive Guilford victory.
Good for them down there. Yeah, great job, Devin. And then lastly, to round out the highlights here, we got to talk about Jackson Kane down at New England College. He had 9 caused turnovers on defense and then 10 GBs.
Sheesh.
Yeah, that guy was just vacuuming up the ball. If it was on the ground, it was his. And if it was in your stick, it was also his all day. Love the performance.
Yeah, so shout out to those guys. Next year we got to find like some sort of something that we can stockpile and like mail to the athletic center.
Yeah, send out to them.
Yeah,
yeah, getting like those CAC awards every week was kind of cool. Like getting those in.
Oh, gee, dude.
Oh, sorry. They were cool, I guess.
Getting all those awards every week was so cool.
I think Coach just saved them and gave them at the end of the year. Yeah, it was just a piece of paper. It wasn't that cool. I don't want to make you feel bad.
What, you think I didn't get one?
No, I know you got one.
I didn't get shit, you liar.
I'm sorry, man. Sorry, dude. Being a 6'6" goalie, everyone can see you. They know you.
That's true.
It's easy to stand out.
Goalie bias.
Yeah.
People just love big goalies.
Yeah, plus our stat keepers was, I don't know what they were doing. But
you were just soaking shots.
They just gave me extra saves all the time. Yeah. One time they came out, they're like, you had 26 saves today.
Yeah.
I think it's still the record at York. And I was like, what?
Damn.
They were counting ground balls and everything.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let it stand, but you know, maybe a slight asterisk on that. Who knows?
We love D3 stat keepers.
Yes, they're our favorite
of all kinds.
Yes.
Ready to keep this bad boy moving?
Yeah. You want to get into the preview here for the week? We got a loaded week coming up.
I do, and we're getting close to our unveiling our new segment, which I'm very excited for.
You're getting
for.
super
I just
excited.
Like giving things
He's
nicknames
super
at
antsy.
This point. I feel like giving things nicknames in the podcast world is like the easiest way to just create what could be like potentially boring content and make it somehow exciting.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I mean, Bubby Boys, like
Bubby Boys. My fiance hates that. Yeah,
when you say it,
yeah,
you sound so dumb.
I know. She also doesn't sound like that.
I bet she's not the only one.
Yo, they're definitely not. No,
which I kind of like.
I'll be the villain. I'll be the bad guy here.
All right. And so before we go into unveiling this whole slate, I want you to take a quick gander over it. Blindfold.
Mm-hmm.
You get one game to watch for the week. Which one are you picking?
Yep. For the week or the weekend?
One of each.
One of each?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm watching Wednesday's Gettysburg-Dickinson game.
Ooh.
Yep, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Get Dickinson coming off the high point. Gettysburg faltering a little bit.
Rematch of them playing three times last year, including yes. in the conference championship and in NCAA playoffs.
All absolute great games. So hoping for another one here. And then if I had to pick one for the weekend, I'm a hopeless romantic. Just give me Amherst Middlebury. Let my boys show up one more time and ball out.
You got Amherst taking that one? You going to pick him?
Give me Amherst plus 3.5.
Amherst plus 3.5.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think come on. You,
it's number
I think
four
Vegas,
versus number nine?
I think Vegas would set it at 2.5.
2.5?
Yeah.
They would. Yeah. That's a tough one to take. I'd still take Amherst. 2.5. Bet of the week?
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 Are you letting me set the line? I lost.
You set it at 2.5. Is 2.5
yeah,
okay?
Last week I set the Wesleyan Tufts line at 5.5. You took Tufts. They won by 10. So, yeah, it technically is your week to set the line, but that was a pretty organic one that could make a good matchup.
I think we let it ride.
Let it ride.
2.5 points.
All right.
Yep.
You got.
I got the Mammoths.
All right. Rock on.
Love
lock it.
It
in.
Locking it in.
Yeah, hand hug to
hand
lock.
Hand hug to lock.
Hand hug lock.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's it.
Boom.
I'm looking to go 2 in a row. This might be my first 2 in a row.
Nobody's held suit.
Yeah. Yeah, we suck at this. Yeah. but let's hit all the games that we're gonna see this week and this weekend. Tuesday we're gonna see Williams taking on MIT and Roanoke taking on WNL. Two pretty good games there. And Wednesday, as I discussed, we're gonna see that Gettysburg Dickinson matchup. That's gonna be awesome. We're also going to see that Union St. John Fisher game, which you just talked about a little bit there. And then finally, we're going to see Swarthmore or Sinus. That's going to be a pretty interesting one. Then putting us into the weekend, Friday.
Pop quiz.
Oh, hit me. Yeah.
Fill in the blank.
Okay.
This game is more important for one team. That team is blank between Union and St. John Fisher.
It's more important for Union. For sure. They got to come out and have a dominant performance. Even if they win 10-8, you know, 9-8, if they win a close one like that, I'm dropping them down in my poll, and I would be very concerned that they would not see the light of day in your top 20 poll either. Personally. Is that what you're thinking too?
Yeah. I mean, I believe St. John Fisher's plan, this maybe not this entire season, but in general, is pretty deliberate, and that's load the out-of-conference schedule for the iron sharpens iron effect, for the if you get one of those wins, it's great for your resume, knowing full well you're probably going to end up winning your conference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, NAS may give them a better run this year.
Yeah.
I still got St. John Fisher pulling that out.
I think so, too.
So, yeah, I'm with you. It's a bigger game for Union.
Mm-hmm.
Because St. John Fisher ultimately probably has that security blanket, and it's going to be a bit harder for Union to go win the Liberty League than it is for St. John Fisher to go win the Empire 8.
I think you're right there. Yep, that's a good point. All right, and then moving into the weekend.
Nope. Oh, well, yes.
Moving in.
Sorry.
Yeah, Friday counts as the weekend. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I was getting ahead of myself. I thought you skipped my segment.
Oh, I would never skip your segment.
Okay.
So it's your new segment. Yeah. He's so defensive on his new segment. It's nice to see. So Friday, before we get into the weekend slate, we got Salisbury-Cabrini, a great historic rivalry. It's going to be a good one. I think Salisbury.
I don't know if that's true.
No, they've played some pretty tough games in my memory, at least.
Yeah, but I don't know that you can
my
call it a
also
historic
bad and
rivalry.
Dumb. Okay.
I feel like when you say historic rivalry, you say that's more like a.
What about like a recent historic rivalry? Like past 10 years?
Just exciting.
An exciting, yeah. An exciting matchup?
You could say rivalry.
A good bout?
A strong bout?
A strong bout between two.
A duel of gentlemen?
Oh, huzzah! it's going to be a fun one, nonetheless.
Last year, they gave us a really epic game.
Yeah, they went to OT, didn't it?
And Salisbury scored 10 unassisted goals to win.
Yep, that's right.
Cabrini was like, if you're winning this game, it's because you run by us and score goals. Like, we are not sliding here to you.
And they almost pulled it out.
Ferrer scores 4 goals late, I believe, off the top of my head. But yeah.
That sounds right, yeah. Yeah. So they can win in a multitude of ways.
We'll see
if
they can do that with Jude Brown also in the mix.
Yeah. I'd
shooting things off his defender's hip. He doesn't actually have to even beat you because he can just
shoots it. And that's almost the worst for a goalie. Like, I'd rather a guy get beat and I can see where the shot's coming from.
Or if he's beat, you can slide.
Yeah, you can slide. You can read the shot. If you shoot it off the hip, it's just where the heck is this ball coming from?
And nobody shoots off the hip shots from range, right? Like, off the hip shots are always coming from within, like,
right from a crease feed, something like that,
or like post up position. You know,
yep.
Like, those are all tight to the cage where you have very little time to react.
Let's that
big
fella
like yourself though probably soaks up a lot of them bad boys.
I don't know, man. I stepped in the goal for the Swarm the other day actually, and I think I've lost a step or three.
Yeah,
it was a rough one out there. Let's just say offside high was not my friend. With those 12-year-olds, they got me a couple times.
You should show up to one of our Howard practices and get some reps and help our goalies.
Yeah? I'd love to, man.
Dude, any day you're free, any weekday you're free,
yeah,
come help out. We would.
You guys don't play Falston, do you?
No.
I also help their goalies, so it might be an interference there. But
no.
All right.
And we play both of our goalies are big, are hefty mamas.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Come tomorrow. You won't.
Tomorrow? I might be busy tomorrow.
Or Wednesday.
Maybe Wednesday.
Oh, we have a game Tuesday. Wednesday. Yeah, come Wednesday and help our goalies.
I can maybe wait.
I heard you won't. I'll buy you dinner.
Oh, okay. Fact. More tacos?
Yeah, we'll actually get we'll get the tacos instead of from the ones here in the fake authentic, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to the real spot. We'll go to the taco truck by my house.
Okay. All right. Dan's taco truck.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
In for that.
Boom.
Sign me up.
All right, Wednesday.
All right. Well, let's move into Saturday.
Oh, and then we can watch all the games.
Yeah. Look at that. What a good
thing. We can watch Dickinson and Gettysburg with tacos.
With tacos.
On the porch.
That'd be wonderful. With the puppies?
Yeah.
Nice.
They would not let us chill out there without them.
No. They're good dogs, though. Into Saturday, though, we got a loaded Saturday slate. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to read through it here. We got Muhlenberg versus F&M, Union versus Ithaca, Tufts Hamilton. That might be a fun one. Like I said before, Amherst Middlebury. That's one of my games of the weekend. You have St. Lawrence taking on RPI. Wesleyan taking on Williams. That's going to be another fun one. And Roanoke taking on Hampden Sydney. Dan, if you have to take one of these, not Amherst Middlebury, which one are you taking to watch?
Like a my blindfold game?
Yeah. You're blindfolded, but you can only take it off for 3 hours to watch one D3 lacrosse game.
Man, that's intense.
Mm-hmm.
This answer is going to come with an asterisk.
Okay.
Because I don't know if it's still this case for this year, but last year the Liberty League playoffs were only 4 teams.
Mm.
So this St. Lawrence RPI game actually has really big implications for potentially a couple weeks from now.
Okay,
yeah,
I like that. Thinking ahead.
That one might be pretty dang intense.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I guess, I mean, so NESCAC is at 8. Centennial, I think, is 5 this year. Last year it was 4. Remember, F&M missed.
Yep.
I think they're at 5 this year. Again, asterisk on all this.
F&M
I need to do a bigger.
Complained about that. So
I need to do
it this year.
I need to do a bigger deep dive on that stuff, but I believe that's the case. And then the ODAC is a 7 team, but particularly bring that up because Roanoke right now, right, they are the team that I'm going to use. Them and Williams are the teams I'm going to use to intro our new segment here. And these are our Week X Warriors.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that the name of the segment?
Week X Warriors.
Oh, Week X.
Yes, because that is, we can just keep it, yeah. So they're our weak X boys.
Okay.
And basically what that means is they have two games in a week that are like high profile.
It's kind of like a make or break week for them.
So Roanoke right now, they have Hampton, Sydney, and WNL this week. Going to be huge not only for ODAC playoffs, but if they come out winning both of those games, regional rankings and all that sort of stuff really get messed up. And then I'll remind you, and perhaps this maybe isn't as impressive as it was before Saturday, but I will remind you that Roanoke was within one. Maybe the more important factor to make is that this was at Lynchburg.
There we go.
But they were within one against them twice in that game, both in the fourth quarter with like a 9-8 or like 8-7, and then again at 10-9. And maybe that's in the third and fourth quarter, but again, closer in the down the stretch. So that is to say that Roanoke, in theory, could definitely snag one or two of these games this week over Hampton, Sydney, or WNL. And if so, the regional rankings for that region get
all jumbled.
Even more jumbled than, I mean, everywhere right now, regional rankings are a bit jumbled. But yeah.
I like that. Yep. That's an awesome, awesome new segment. I get why you were so pumped about that.
Yeah. So definitely like that segment. Roanoke. Williams, kind of like a half, because I'm not so sure that MIT will give them a whole ton of issues. Perhaps they do. Perhaps they don't have a solution for Gebhardt. But, you know, we will see on that. And then Union is kind of in the same boat where they have St. John Fisher midweek, and then they'll have another big Liberty League matchup against Ithaca, who's coming off of a loss to Skidmore in overtime. So they're going to want to be
they're going to be hungry.
Yeah, both teams will be looking for a statement in that one. Frankly, both have an opportunity sitting in front of them on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun there. I love the new segment. Absolutely, great job with that. The name, everything about it.
Week X Warriors. All right. Should we move into the big dogs, big takes?
Yeah.
You got anything else for preview? What? Give me one thing you're looking forward to, one matchup or something like that.
Oh, I mean, it's got to be Amherst Middlebury for sure.
No. Matchup within the matchup.
Oh, within the matchup.
Yeah.
Like
a
real sort of matchup.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to look to see how Chase Morgan can bounce back after, you know, not the best performance this past week, only six saves in that Swarthmore game. And, you know, Dickinson, we just saw them rail off 17 against Swarthmore. You know?
Muhlenberg.
Muhlenberg, excuse me.
Well, both were low save totals, I believe, or low percentage, I should say.
Yeah, we just saw them rail off 17, though. Like, that offense is buzzing, for sure. So I'm going to look to see Chase Morgan, you know, stand on his head a little bit. He's going to have a big day if the Bullets are going to come out on top there. So that's going to be one I'm keeping my eye on.
Love it.
What about you?
Love it. Great answer. Man, I'll say Amherst clearing against the Middlebury Ride. I feel like the Middlebury Ride has been pretty tumultuous this year for teams, has really given them issues. And not only that, but like you have to spend and adjust and plan for it and spend time and practice planning for it.
Switching guys in. Nobody is ever tired.
Keeping dudes fresh.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's zero people tired.
And part of, you know, the difficulties of it is as much – you only have the finite amount of time with your team, right?
Mm-hmm.
30 minutes spent working on clearing against the Ride is 30 minutes that you aren't spending on, you know, their personnel or offense or sets or, you know, fill in the blank.
That's good coach speak right there.
You like that?
Yeah.
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 But I believe it. It's true. It really is. So that'll be my matchup within the matchup is Amherst clearing versus the Middlebury Ride.
I like that. Good points there. I think I'm ready for our next segment. It might be my second favorite segment now because now you have my number one favorite with the Team X.
Ooh.
I think that's my number one. It's got to be.
You're just juicing me up.
Maybe a little bit.
I love you for it, though.
It's the first week.
I'm happy for it, though.
We'll see if it's still my favorite come next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for right now, we got to get into the big dogs.
Oof.
Big takes.
And we're past 11 o'clock, which means the explicit big dog comes out.
Uh-oh. Oh, man. Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
So I guess the big question is, somebody, anybody, playing coach of a Division III team, any coach, calls and says, hey, man, like, just looking to get some of your impact, some of your thoughts on what's going on in D3. You know, there seems to be a bit of a hodgepodge. What do you think? What would you say? What would your advice be?
I don't think I would say anything to them personally. I would just pull up this YouTube video and play it.
Five letters here just for everybody out there in Packerland and yourself today. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We're going to be okay.
Relax. That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Take a chill pill. We're seeing a lot of these big teams drop some weird games. We're seeing some teams not really come out the way we're expected. And it just some you know, pretty crazy things are happening. We need to relax.
Would you advise every team in the country to take out a insurance policy with the big dog? And if so, how would they go about doing so?
I mean, we have pretty high premiums, but you know, we do have a lot of accident forgiveness, so we are one of the better insurance options for
I them. Also feel like your loyalty clause is just phenomenal.
Oh, we're the best, you know. If you say one good thing about us, we'll love you for life.
All right.
It's just all about relaxing, man. Take a chill pill.
My turn.
Yeah.
My turn.
All right. What do you got?
I hate that.
Oh. I didn't think you'd like it.
Two reasons I hate it. One, like, there's consequences to your action, baby. Like, you can't be out here just dropping games because you don't play well or whatever and have no repercussions for it. I have accident forgiveness, but it's certainly not as high of a level as where yours is at. And then part number two is the overreaction's fun. The crapshoot of Division III right now is extremely fun. You have basically like your top seven teams, right? Mm-hmm. Those were pretty – I feel like basically anybody who would have been in a situation to put together a top 20 – has some sort of combination of the same seven teams and probably a similar combination to the top three and a unanimous number one even maybe. But again, so that top section pretty easy, kind of lays itself out. And then after that, there is just a...
It's an open field.
...scutterbutt of you have a million different triangles of he beat him and he beat him, but they lost to a team that team beat. So, like, you really can't do it based on this, like, web of wins. It really comes down now to record, resume, eye test, efficiency metrics, RPI, like, all that type of stuff to create one conclusion on, you know, where they fall. So it's a bit crazy right now, and all of that makes for so much more fun. Like, you see it basically like every big sport, you know, like every major sport that has a major following doesn't have predictability, right? Like, maybe to a degree there's certain predictability to it, but this just makes for increased fandom. It makes it more fun,
it's
more
like
entertaining.
The NCAA tournament we just watched. You know, any 64 of those teams could make it.
The closest thing lacrosse has to March Madness is the Division III lacrosse tournament.
Yeah,
Division I has its own tournament and it's exciting, but
it's kind of set.
It's like 16 teams, right? I don't even know. It's like
you see teams like Notre Dame not make the tournament.
And
you know?
It's just so – it's just small, right? Like, the field is just not even comparable to March Madness basketball, whereas, like, D3, you're going to get 30 at-large. I don't remember exactly what the field is, but
– there's a whole pool for the at-larges, I think.
Yeah, you have it's like 30-something at-larges. I have to check. COVID screwed me up because all the field reduced, but I think it's like 38 teams this year, 37 teams. Something like that. So, fact, the closest thing lacrosse has to March Madness is the Division III lacrosse tournament.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Second fact.
Yeah?
Second fact, the crapshoot is mad fun. Third fact, I love you. I had a great time chatting it up with you, and I think it's about time we close this thing out.
I think so as well.
Any closing thoughts outside of Big Dogs, Big Takes?
Not too many, no. I love getting in here chatting it up with you, man.
Same.
It's always the highlight of my week.
Same. Always a good time. We love being able to do it. We love being able to hook up D3 Nation with a little podcast love. Until next time, peace.
Oh, drop that low.